Hi, this is Mary with Autism Every Day, and welcome to the podcast. Today, we're going to talk about visual helpers. Now, visual helpers, what are those? Those can be picture cards, they can be photo albums, they can be signs, they can be logos that you cut out of actual things, they can be social stories, all varied kinds of things. And you can find a whole assortment of visual helpers that you can print on my website, which is autism_everyday. It's a Yahoo group. And if you put that into your search bar for Yahoo groups, it should pop right up. But if it doesn't, then check the program notes for the URL and get right over there, because these are free and easy ways that you can live with autism. And will definitely improve the quality of life for you and your child. Now, you may be saying to yourself, well, my child is verbal and he doesn't need picture cards. Well, my child's been talking since he was 9 months. I mean, his first word was flower. I couldn't believe it. I almost like fell off the bed. He might have been 8 months old. He was a baby. He's always been incredibly verbal. But like most children with autism, he doesn't process language that well. You know, I think for him, it's just a barrage of useless, senseless information sometimes. And the visual helpers help so much. They help organize his day. They help organize my day. They really help him understand what's coming next. They help him make choices. They help him understand themes such as, you know, going to the beach or therapeutic writing. And he understands what's expected for him. And I can tell you that when I use visual helpers, I get so much more compliance throughout the day than when I don't. And I do have, you know, a challenging child, a wonderful, inventive, and smart kid, but you know, he's a handful. So the visual helpers help a whole lot. So let me just dispel that fallacy right off, that even if your child is verbal, they will love this. In fact, I have used them with typical kids, and they also like them a whole lot. And they will save you a lot of lung power, because you don't have to repeat things over and over again if you've got a little sign for it. Another fallacy is this whole idea of prompt dependence. And you will see some speech therapists, a few, say, oh, we don't like to use visual helpers because they create prompt dependence. The child becomes dependent on this as a mode for communication, and they won't use other. Well, I'm sorry. I'm trying to say this respectfully, that it's baloney, but it is baloney. You know, using visual helpers not only increases your child's literacy, but I do not personally believe it will cause prompt dependence. If your child becomes so skilled at using visual helpers that you have prompt dependence, believe me, you would love to have a problem like that. But I think it would be very unusual for that to happen. It's just not the way that children learn. I think that if anything, especially my son, it's created more language, more spontaneous and more natural language. So I wouldn't worry about the prompt dependence. I would go ahead and use them. A third problem that I've seen associated with visual helpers are, and this is sometimes with some teachers, fortunately not with my sons, but you know, other people, sitters and therapists, is that they only pull them out as a last resort. They only pull them out when things get hairy or there's a behavior problem. You don't want to do that. Visual helpers need to be used in a fun context and with a child's special interests, especially right off the bat, because you're teaching them how to use it and getting them familiar with this as a communication, a way to communicate, not the only way to communicate, but a way to communicate. So if you use them consistently throughout the day, use a schedule every day, just like you probably refer to your calendar or your grocery list or your to-do list every day. Think of it like that. It is a helper for your child, and it's not something just to be used just when he's acting up, because then it'll be associated with a negative thing, and you really don't want that, because they do work beautifully and they can actually forestall a lot of negative behaviors. So let's just like stop talking about, you know, all the fallacies and things that are associated with visual helpers and get right into it. Like I said, you can print these off my website. And I think one of the most effective ways of using visual helpers is to print these suckers off. Go to Staples, get them laminated. It costs about $1 a page. So that gives you about maybe 20 laminated cards once you cut them up. And Staples or Office Depot, they'll do a really great job of laminating it, better than your home laminating machine, because it's just more durable and it's stiffer, and it makes it easier to clean them when they get sticky. Then you're going to put the soft side of Velcro on the back of them. You can get these little Velcro squares. Those are the ones I really like, or you can snip them up as much as you like and get the whole roll. And then you're going to put the hook side, the side that's rough, that's the part that's going to go on your choice board or on your folder or whatever you're using to stick your visual cards on. So here's an example of a folder. It's a vinyl folder. You can get this at an office supply store for under $1. And I cut a little slit in it because that's where I put, the all done cards. You know, children need to know with autism when an activity is all done, and that is a nice way of doing it. I've got hundreds of picture cards, but I put the ones that I use the most, and this is what goes with me in the car or goes in my, my purse if we're going, to the zoo or something like that. You can also make an if, then, or now and then, or, a two-step board. You can do all kinds of things. Now, we have some other kinds of visual helpers on the website that you can print, and some of them are schedule strips. So these are little strips. They're five steps that teach a child with autism a particular skill. And you can just cut them up and laminate them or not laminate them, however you like. And I've got schedule strips on that site for emptying the dishwasher and washing your hands. I have a toileting one. And there's ones for using a vending machine. There's just all kinds of different fun skills. And you definitely want to post them up there, right there over the sink or wherever they're needed, because the child needs to refer to that kind of almost on their own. You'll be pointing them to that without words, but the less that you cue them verbally and the more you get them to checking that step thing on their own, then the more independent they're going to become. So you'll have to, if you're teaching a child to wash their hands, you have to use words at first. You have to use a little hand over hand, but try and fade that as much as you can and get them to look at the strip, because that will help you a whole lot when you're teaching them some other higher level skills, like using a recipe or doing other things that we need them to do to follow step-by-step directions. So what else have we got? We've got that one. You can make little signs. Here's one that I put on the door because my son had a issue with leaving. I think this one is saying we were just using a phrase, but you can use that. I have one that had him "don't leave" without a grown-up. That worked out really well. My son just really respects signs, and that was a great use of a visual helper, and they have used that at school too with a lot of success. So you have an eloping child, definitely consider using a visual cue instead of that oral cue, because it will save your vocal cords and it's just also more effective, and again it makes your child more independent. So anyway, these are just some examples of visual helpers. We've got social stories on there too if you want to try those. I definitely hope that you give it a try. I've had a lot of success with using them, and the more it is an extra step, it is an extra step to add to your day, but I do find that when I do take the time to do that and I sit down with my child and I tell him, or we go over what we're going to do next, and definitely whenever I can get his participation, he's even helped me make them sometimes, that I get more compliance and he just seems to be more engaged, so which is what we want, right? So good luck with that, and I hope that you and your family are living well with autism.